now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show. The Silker Joe Show co-host Joe coming at you again instead of Alan. Not the voice you expected to hear, but sadly, Alan is still sitting with his dog today, as I was talking about yesterday. Alas, poor Elvis. He got swatted by a cat. Not the SWAT cats, mind you. He was not also, didn't have a SWAT team called on him by a cat, as is so popular against conservatives these days in attempts to assassinate them. Rather, Alan's dog Elvis was hanging around a cat who decided they had enough and took a swipe at him. Anyway, if Alan were here with us today, he would give to you his mantra. Folks, we want the Democrats out of our wallets. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. See, I botched it because I was looking at my subjects, and they start with the word Democrats, and, you know, that just took over what was going on in my short-term memory. Anyway, the Alan Nathan Show comes to you these days courtesy of the Main Street Radio Network, so I want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist, allowing us to have topics like you're going to hear in a moment that should be out on social media by the time you hear it, if I remember to give them out. So we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for that. And, you know, despite disagreeing with some of the content we have on the program, they still support the First Amendment, support our right to say it, so we appreciate that, as long as it's within FCC guidelines, mind you. So we want to thank them for that. And we want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing the show. You can go show some gratitude to the Main Street Radio Network at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Find about the Alan Nathan Show up there. Find the podcast for the show up there. And Silker Joe Show and podcast for that too. mainstreetradionetwork.com. Alan has his own website, though, alannathan.com. Of course he does. He's the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist talk host in the country. Been around since 1998. For those of you who can't do math, 27 years. So we appreciate that. I shouldn't have just said for those of you who can't do math. I should have said for you Democrats out in the audience. That means he's been around 27 years. Anyway, so we want to thank the Alan Nathan Show here for being around for so long, for thriving and coming along as they have. And you can find him on social media, Twitter at Alan Nathan, but also posting under Main Street Radio Network's pages, Facebook and Wimkin at Main Street Radio Network, Twitter at Main Street Radio. And on those outlets, you would find these topics that I was staring at when I was delivering the mantra. Here are mine. Democrats laughingly accuse Kash Patel of weaponizing the FBI. Were they asleep like Joe Biden the last 4 years? Also, the House Aviation Committee finds the Biden administration prioritized DEI and airline jobs. Isn't that obvious from how we get more accidents despite more staff and less traffic than before? So y'all, obviously, we're coming up to this major travel occasion, Memorial Day, and then only 2 months from now, 4th of July. So for those of you worried about your aviation safety, this is a pretty good way to start the show, I suppose, talking about these airline disasters that we've been having. And I talked with a Democrat friend of mine who pretty much blamed Trump for it, but said that it was a disaster waiting to happen anyway, just because of staffing issues and whatnot. But the thing is, we had fewer people. I did the research after this conversation. We have fewer people now. We had fewer people in 2019 and more airline traffic in 2019 than we do now. Right now, we have more people and less traffic in the airs, in the airways. Yet we get more accidents, and we're supposed to blame Trump for it. I was actually suspecting conspiracy. I was suspecting that maybe the unions weren't too happy about Trump making all these cuts, and they were trying to show, hey, we need all these people that were suddenly added that we didn't have before when we had more traffic in the airways, so we're going to cause these accidents to prove that we need these people. But it could just be deliberate. It could just be incompetence because, according to Fox News, this House committee has found out that the Biden administration was doing all these things. The chairman of the quote here from a Fox News article, the chairman of the House's Aviation Safety Caucus is accusing the former Biden administration of helping fuel the current air traffic control crisis by its choice to fund progressive diversity initiatives instead of modernizing the aging system. So not only were they hiring the McNamara's morons, pretty much, but they also were not modernizing the systems. And, you know, 6 years ago, I guess they were top of the line, perhaps, but not anymore. And, you know, technology changes. Heck, I wonder if how many of them are still using Windows XP, honestly. But actually, you got to consider, though, how much of those problems is really attributable to the people that the Biden administration hired. Because you got to figure we had probably the same equipment in 2019 that we do now. Now, unless that equipment is starting to rot, then you would have to blame the manpower rather than the equipment. So it might have been actually a little bit forgiving of the House's Aviation Safety Caucus to come up with this idea that it was funding DEI instead of modernizing the system, rather than just solely blaming their really lousy hiring practices. Now, people will point out that under Trump they had these lousy hiring practices, but those people probably wouldn't have gotten into the actual industry until the Biden administration anyway, first of all. And second of all, Trump also was quite frankly probably not made aware of this stuff, because we've seen before about how Democrats, I hate to ask our producer, but I think we actually have a clip about this, discussing how Democrats have just, like, kept things from the Trump administration even during their first term. In fact, that's clip one, if our producer has that available for us and didn't ask for it to begin with, but if we have clip one.
So that has to go away for good now, DEI stuff?
Unclear. Like, I mean, so the same thing happened the last time, because I was already working on when Trump was president last time and in a different agency.
Oh.
And they, like, canceled DEI and stuff, but people just, like, did it and called it something else.
Really?
Yeah.
So genius.
I mean, yeah.
So the part in the audio quality, but that was from Project Veritas, and they're best known for their hidden cameras, which necessarily means that the audio quality is going to sound like it was recorded through a potato. But what you heard was Anthony Abate, State Department Foreign Service Officer, and he was asked by the undercover investigator if the State Department will get rid of DEI initiatives like the Trump administration wants them to, but Abate replies that it's not clear if they will, because the last time Trump was president, i.e. 2016 to 2020, they, 2017 to 2021, really, they just renamed the initiatives when he terminated them and kept on doing them. So, you know, they talk about all these things that were still going on under the Trump administration, and they're trying to tell you that he didn't complain about them then. Why are they a problem now? He probably did complain about them then. He probably asked for them to be changed. And these deep state bureaucrats who think that they run the country, not the electorate, they were the ones who altered it. Boy, isn't it nice to have these guardians of democracy. They are making sure that the democracy doesn't work. These deep state bureaucrats who hide themselves and do not reveal themselves, and the hashtag resistance, they just make sure that when you vote for someone, it doesn't actually matter who you vote for, because they're going to continue the will of the globalist elitist cabal controlling the world that want to see America destroyed, or either that, or they just will make sure that whoever gives them the fattest paycheck is the one that they pledge their fealty to, regardless of what the voters actually want. Because, after all, these guys have jobs to protect, their own. So you can figure that they're going to be not the best of people to have around. And the unchecked power of the bureaucrats, oh my gosh. Yeah, we've seen how hard it is to fire these people with just the last 100 days in Trump's term, where he's trying to get rid of them any way he can. And, you know, as I mentioned before, Reuters reported you can't actually fire them. You have to you can't just do a regular firing like you would in a corporate office. You either have to fire them for misconduct, you have to say that they're not living up to the standard of the job. Otherwise, it will take years to get rid of them. And that's according to Reuters. It'll take years to get rid of them unless you say they're not doing the job right, or they have misconduct. So they have such strong protections in the bureaucracy. They feel themselves invincible. They don't feel themselves needing to adhere to the will of the people. Which possibly means for the super progressives out there that these same bureaucrats that you cheer for the hashtag resistance will resist your AOC or Bernie Sanders if they take things too far for the interests of the bureaucrats. Although, I don't think we have to worry about that too much with Bernie Sanders and AOC. After all, Bernie Sanders just came out and said that he's so important that he can't be bothered to wait in lines for a regular passenger airline, the multimillionaire with multiple homes who claims to advocate socialism. Yeah, that dude's been grifting for a while. Actually, we found out that he's been getting money from lobbyists this whole time, so... He's a grifter, he's in it for the money, so I guess the DC elite wouldn't have to worry about him. The DC bureaucratic elite wouldn't have to worry about him. Now, someone genuine like him, who probably doesn't even make their way to Congress because they're stamped down by the party, that's the kind of person that the bureaucrats would be thwarting as much as they would thwart Trump. Anyway, we got more Alan Nathan Show coming up after this break, so stick with us.
Baked beans might be a summer classic, but they can also bring a deliciously unexpected twist to your spring menu. Registered dietitian Amy Goodson has more.
Baked beans aren't just for summer. They're a tasty, easy addition to any spring meal. From Easter and springtime brunches to weekday dinners, Bush's baked beans bring rich taste, quick prep, and serious versatility, whether serving them straight from the can or adding your own twist.
From savory brunch bowls to traditional favorites, beans are finding their way into all kinds of seasonal dishes.
There are so many ways to enjoy baked beans. Try a build-your-own brunch bowl with a base like rice or sweet potatoes. Then add chicken, Bush's baked beans, coleslaw, tomatoes, creamy avocado, and a kick of jalapeno. I also love Grandma's favorite Bush's baked beans, loaded with beef, bacon, smoked sausage, and veggies. It's full of flavor and nostalgia, perfect for spring get-togethers.
For more baked bean inspiration and recipes, visit bushbeans.com. That's bushbeans.com.
It's been 5 years since the COVID-19 pandemic began, yet nurses continue to face significant stress and burnout. Brendan Martin, Research Director for the National Council of State Boards of Nursing, or NCSBN, has more.
The nursing community is facing persistent challenges, with nurses continuing to leave the field in record numbers. In fact, our 2024 National Nursing Workforce Study finds nearly 2 in 5 nurses plan to leave the profession by 2029.
More than 138,000 nurses left the profession since 2022, and a lot more nurses intend to leave the field within the next 5 years. Nurses face similar challenges across all levels and experience.
40% of nurses expressed that stress and burnout are among the top reasons for considering a job change. They also mentioned heavy workloads, understaffing, and feeling underpaid contributed to their desire to leave.
For more information on the National Council of State Boards of Nursing 2024 Workforce Study, visit ncsbn.org/workforce.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
back to the Alan Nathan Show. By Silver Joe Show co-host Joe, filling in for Alan today while he is handling his poor little doggy who got swiped in the eye by iCat. Anyway, while waiting for our guests to join us for the segment, I suppose I'll just continue babbling on about bureaucracies and other issues going on in the Trump administration. So, for example, you had the bureaucracy under Joe Biden. Well, we saw how robust it was because it was pretty much acting without Joe Biden. Look at all the auto pen signatures that were used in Joe Biden's place. There was nobody captaining that ship. I mean, Joe Biden could have been the one tied to the ship's wheel, you know, like the Demeter and Dracula or something, but Biden was just as dead as the captain of the Demeter was when it finally beached. Anyway, we are joined now by Karen Strawn, so we will be diverting from that topic. She is host of the YouTube channel Girl Writes What and frequent speaker with Honey Badger Radio. Karen Strawn, happy to talk with you again. How are you today?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So we spoke sometime last week, and there was going to be a nice rally for Alberta separation, and apparently the premier of Alberta lowered the requirements to get a referendum about separation onto ballots. What's going on with all this?
Oh, well, I mean, the change in legislation has been probably a little over a year in the making. And what she noticed was there were, like, virtually no citizen initiative ballot propositions being proposed in Alberta. And she looked at California and other U.S. states and their requirements for that, for recalling of politicians and other ballot initiatives. And she found that for policy issues, legislative issues, in California, it was 5% of registered voters. You had to have 5%. And for constitutional issues, you had to have 8%. And she just basically decided, okay, let's make it 10% across the board in order to get an issue on the ballot. And so this bill, it really has nothing to do with Trump's tariffs or the results of this last election. It was in the works for at least a year prior to this. But she just, she came up through what was called the Wild Rose Party. She was the leader of the Wild Rose Party in Alberta here for, you know, after its inception for some time. And they're a very populist party. They're extremely small government, free enterprise, let everybody make their own way kind of party. And you know, so she's very, very interested in making sure that her constituents have a voice, and that her the members of government, the people in government, are responsible and accountable to the people. So, you know, like, this was no surprise. It just happened to be that, you know, the first reading of this bill happened after the election, and or just prior to the election, and, you know, like, now it's a hell of a lot easier to for Alberta to hold a separation referendum, a constitutional issue referendum. We only need 10% of registered voters and to sign on to a petition in order for the government to be forced to hold that referendum. And that seems reasonable to me, especially when something like 45% of Albertans at the moment are either, I would vote to separate today, or I would consider voting to separate. So, you know, like, there's a lot of dissatisfaction. It's not just because of the Trudeau government. This has been decades of just being taken advantage of. There's been a strong separatist sentiment in Alberta for a long time. And not so much, it's a little bit younger in Saskatchewan and British Columbia, the two provinces flanking us. because for a long time, in each case, they were the recipient of equalization payments, as opposed to the contributors of equalization payments. And equalization is just provincial welfare. And Alberta, since the equalization program began in 1957, Alberta has only been a recipient during one fiscal year. I think it was 1964, 1965. And all of the other years, no matter how bad how hard times we fell on, no matter how big our deficit was, no matter how big our debt was ballooning, we still had to pay for other provinces to exist. And it's really not fair. And I mean, even if you look at something like, you know, you have your congressional districts in the U.S. We have our ridings in Canada, right? Federal ridings in Canada. Well, the ridings in Prince Edward Island, which is like a tiny province in the Maritimes, is 39,000 people. Ridings in Alberta are 119,000 people. So each riding gets a seat in Parliament, and Alberta gets one seat for every 119,000 Albertans, whereas Prince Edward Island gets one seat for every 39,000 Prince Edward Islanders. So, I mean, this is not fair. You have a constitution that lets every state have two senators. We have unequal distribution of senators, not just according to each province, maybe having an equal number, but we have fewer senators in Western Canada according to population than Central and Eastern Canada have according to population. So it's just really like the entire Canadian project is based on letting Atlantic and Central Canada, Ontario, Quebec, and everything east of that dictate to the entire country. They decide our elections, and they hold the power in Parliament and in the Senate in terms of legislation and what gets passed and what doesn't. And, you know, Western Canada is getting sick of it.
Yeah, and you know, there was a Separation for Alberta rally. We've only got like a minute and a half left here. That happened last Saturday. How'd that go?
Well, there were thousands of people there. And, you know, like I did not go because I'm not the rally going type. But, you know, if a referendum were held today, I would mark my X, you know, on Separation, 100%.
Interesting you said thousands, because I figured they might be biased, but CBC, I'm assuming that means Canadian Broadcasting, they say hundreds,
technically correct.
But not accurate. Anyway, Karen Strawn, appreciate you being on the Al and Nathan Show today. Again, listeners, she is host of the YouTube channel Girl Writes What, and appreciate you being on the program. And listeners, we got more show coming up after this break, so stick with us.
So Zuzu is the story of an adorable hermit crab that actually mistakes a piece of plastic for its shell. There's a short film on joinzuzu.com that is this extraordinary short film about Zuzu's story. But also there's a petition online where people can go and easily, in just moments, sign this petition to advocate for federal EPR legislation. This is so important because this allows us to create a national strategy of collective action to scale up a solution to fix the recycling problem in this country. So I partnered with SC Johnson on the Zuzu movement because SC Johnson is one of those rare companies that is out at the forefront of this issue and pushing to recognize that companies have a responsibility to play in the system. It's not just about consumers recycling. Companies and the products that they create need to be recyclable. They need to take responsibility for the life cycle of those products, and that's what SC Johnson is doing. And for more information, go to joinzuzu.com and sign the petition.
The fan favorite series Leverage Redemption returns for its third season April 17th on Prime Video. The show follows a team of reformed criminals who prove sometimes it's good to be bad as they use their less than legal skills to help those in need fight back against the rich and powerful. In season 3, the team pits themselves against a power broker stealing the town's clean water, a pool hustler with a side business in international extortion, and a corrupt mayor who's the judge and jury of his small town, all while dodging a plan of vengeance from a past enemy. But no matter what, when someone needs help, they provide the leverage. Alee Shannon plays Brianna Casey, a brilliant engineer and hacker.
Audiences will love this new season. It's filled with big surprises, major action, lots of humor, and as always, a lot of heart. My character Brianna is still learning about the world of cons, but she brings her own spin to everything. Snarky humor, it's high tech, and she helps the team stop some truly awful people.
Don't miss Leverage Redemption, April 17th on Prime Video.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show by Silver Joe Show co-host Joe, filling in for Alan today while he is on I was about to say on assignment. No, he's helping his little doggy, a little doggy who got batted by a cat, visiting a friend. And a human friend, mind you, not the cat. The cat was not Alan's dog, Elvis. I combined Alan and Elvis, and I got Alvin. Anyway, so Alan's dog, Elvis, was visiting a human friend, and the human's friend cat decided to take a swipe at poor little Elvis. So that is what Alan is attending to, because the dog's all dopey after the vet visit yesterday. Anyway, though, Going on to a topic I didn't get to in the first segment, Democrats laughingly accuse Kash Patel of weaponizing the FBI, where they asleep like Joe Biden the last 4 years. So there were the House hearing and the Senate hearing going on and this week, and you had Kash Patel was dragged in front of them, and they wanted to badger him, and, I guess we have a new pope now. Anyway, I don't know. I'm not Catholic. White smoke has apparently been spotted earlier today, so we'll see how that turns out. But anyway, that just came up because I was scrolling to the headline about Kash Patel, who was facing Senator Patty Murray, who accused him of weaponizing and politicizing the FBI. But you gotta, they figure that if they're doing it, it's okay. It's not weaponizing. It's justice. But if the other side is running a neutral FBI that just so happens to be enforcing the law, that's political targeting. And that's all Kash Patel has been doing. The FBI hasn't particularly targeted any Democrats. They're just enforcing the law like they're supposed to. Whereas under Democrats, the FBI went way out of its way. They were actually, and the Biden administration actually had them spying on people that were not accused of crimes. There was a memo about it from the Biden administration. How do we spy on gun owners and people who conservatives who are not accused of crimes and gun owners? How do we spy on them? We got to do that. And then we get other things like the FBI deciding that parents were terrorists and Catholics were terrorists and spying on them en masse. I would say that's weaponizing the FBI. Having the FBI show up at school board meetings with unmarked vehicles and helicopters, I would say that's weaponizing the FBI to intimidate parents, because it just so happened that Merrick Garland, the attorney general at the time under Biden, his son-in-law made a lot of money off critical race theory, and they didn't want teachers interrupting his son-in-law's money train, or they didn't want parents interrupting his son-in-law's money train by getting teachers to stop teaching radical race theories that also would interrupt the Democrats' money train once those kids graduate. Because remember, CRT, it can basically be summed up as white people are evil, they should feel guilty for everything they've done, black people and non-whites are helpless, they don't have to be intelligent or graduate school, and it's the fault of white people that they're this way, and everyone needs to vote Democrat for everything to be equal. That's what CRT is, in a nutshell. So you can imagine the Democrats would get the FBI in on it to protect their stuff. And this is the same FBI as well who didn't bother with Antifa at the time, because they said, oh, it's a myth, it's not a thing, we're not watching it. But, oh, look, a conservative gun owner, we're going to watch them because the Biden administration told us, oh, look, a parent concerned about critical race theory, well, that's going to interfere with our money-making and our future voters, so we're going to spy on them, too, and try and find any crime we can. So now you've had Kash Patel under Trump dragged before several different Democrats in the House and Senate. Congresswoman Madeline Dean, Democrat out of Pennsylvania, and Senator Patty Murray, they both questioned Kash Patel about how biased the FBI is under him and weaponizing the FBI and all that. But he's not doing any of that. He's just enforcing the law. They've outright said it, that arresting the judges for hiding illegal immigrants is abusing the FBI's power. But that's not abusing the FBI's power. Those judges violated the law, federal law. You use the FBI to arrest people who violated federal law. Duh. But that's a bit too complex for Democrats because, well, the judges were doing the party's work, and nobody gets arrested for doing the party's work. And because it's the party's work, if you do arrest them, it has to be a political arrest, doesn't it? Even if it is violating the law on point, it still has to be a political arrest, because it's doing the party's work. Whereas if you're not doing the party's work, then it's not political. You're just a criminal in the eyes of the Democrat Party. But, I mean, gee whiz. Elon Musk right now, there was a new poll that was done by Heartland Institute. Yeah, Heritage, Heartland. It started the same way with a huh. But anyway, so the Heartland Institute, they worked with Rasmussen to do a poll, and they found that 71% of Democrats support imprisoning Elon Musk for his role at Doge. And 68% of likely Democrat voters, quote, support a hypothetical law that would ban Elon Musk from serving in government, unquote. And apparently 29% of self-identified Republicans believe the same way. And 7 out of 10 Democrat voters would strongly or somewhat support such a law. I guess that's just restating the first part. So, yeah, that's where Democrats stand on cutting the government. They want you arrested for cutting the government. They want you – look at those ass-backward priorities. They want you arrested for saving taxpayer money by cutting non-essential programs. But then on the other side, they want you to be able to actually violate federal law by sheltering illegal immigrants from law enforcement who are in this country illegally and have deportation orders against them. They want that to be – it's okay to hide them from law enforcement, but boy, if you actually try to cut a government program, you're going to prison. Like I said, the bureaucrats in the government, they're the ones running the show here. And that we have their priorities, their jobs above your safety. Keep in mind, too, that the judges who've been caught protecting non-citizens from deportation, the non-citizens they're protecting aren't good people. Like the one judge in Wisconsin who did it, the guy was before the court for domestic abuse. That's why he was in the courtroom. The guy's like a woman beater. And this judge, forget Me Too and believe all women, this judge, she's hiding the guy from law enforcement. You know, whatever happened to Me Too and sisterhood and all that crap that we were told about in 2017, 2018, whatever. Whatever happened to women standing together, believing each other? Here you have a judge hiding a domestic abuser from law enforcement. Not even her domestic abuser either, where you could at least, you know, say that they have like the whatever battered wife syndrome. No, this judge was hiding someone she didn't even know, except as a potential abuser. But don't believe all women and hide someone from deportation when they come in, because obviously illegal immigrant murderers and rapists have more rights than women, apparently. But then again, so do trans athletes. So there's that. Anyway. So that shows the priorities of that judge. Then you have another judge who was hiding an actual Trinidad-Arugula gang member. You know, the guys who murder and rape and all sorts of nasty stuff and also take over apartment buildings in the United States. And we're told that that's nothing to worry about when a foreign gang with possible links to the Venezuelan government take over apartment complexes. And we're told, oh, that's nothing to worry about. Police not doing anything about it. That's nothing to worry about either. Just ignore it because it's only happened. It's such a small thing that it happens. It only happened once or twice. It's okay. That's what ABC News told us, okay? You know, one of the biggest news outlets in the country, at least there used to be. Fortunately, people are getting their news from alternate sources, probably because of ABC News going out there and trying to minimize the idea of foreign gangs of illegal immigrants taking over U.S. property, saying it's nothing to worry about when that happens, especially when those gangs have ties to a foreign government that wants to undermine us and cause chaos in the United States. So, that, again, this is where Democrats stand. You protect people like that. You protect people who want to who work on behalf of foreign governments as terrorists in the United States. You protect them. You protect domestic abusers with deportation orders. But, boy, if you break federal law, you're the criminal. And if you want to just reduce the size of the government, you're the criminal. That's where the party stands, and that is why they are out there accusing Cash Patel and the FBI of being biased and all that, because all these Democrats out there breaking federal law, you know, they're the ones who said no one is above the law, too. Remember that? That's all we heard about Trump for 8 years now. Nobody's above the law. Nobody's above the law. No kings. Nobody's above the law. But here they are saying that judges who are Democrats are above the law. Go figure. But, you know, this is the same party that, you know, Bernie Sanders is out there saying he's too important to fly in jets. And then you had that dumb congresswoman from wherever, Massachusetts, one of the squad, who was out there saying that she's against the police, but she needs private security because she's more important than you. So you got to figure these are the people who say laws apply to you, the little people, and our political enemies, but they don't apply to us. And also, I mean, we saw that in Minneapolis where they had defund the police while at the same time voting for that, they voted for extra security for city council members, if you might recall that from the George Floyd riots. So that is what Democrats think of you, the little people. No wonder they have the reputation as being a party of the elitists and the elite and the bureaucrats who are above the law and unfireable until Doge comes in which case they want anyone involved with firing them to be imprisoned. Well, Nathan, should have this break.
A new national survey reveals a surprising gap between what Americans believe about dental care and what they actually do. Many say they want to keep their natural teeth for life, but their habits often don't match that goal. Dr. Stephen Katz, president of the American Association of Endodontists, explains.
Most adults say they care about keeping their natural teeth, and nearly 9 in 10 believe flossing is important. But almost 60% don't floss daily, and more than 2 in 5 wait to see a dentist until they're already in pain. These delays can lead to serious dental problems.
Tooth pain doesn't have to mean tooth loss. When problems do arise, there's hope and help from a dental specialist known as an endodontist to help save your natural teeth.
That's correct. Endodontists are specialists in saving natural teeth through root canal therapy. With the right care, even a tooth that hurts or is infected can frequently be saved. But the key is acting early. Don't wait for pain.
Learn more at findmyendodontist.com. A new AARP fraud report highlights the need for better cybersecurity habits. Kathy Stokes is the director of fraud prevention programs with AARP's Fraud Watch Network.
Fraud is becoming increasingly sophisticated, yet many Americans may still be unaware of habits that can decrease their risk. Now, millions of adults have downloaded unverified apps, or they've taken social media quizzes from questionable sources, and millions have yet to enable multi-factor authentication, which is an easy step that offers additional protection for online accounts.
The good news is that protecting yourself doesn't require a tech background.
Simple steps like updating your passwords, using a VPN on public Wi-Fi, and turning on security features can help keep your information safe.
For more on how to protect yourself from the latest scams, visit aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork. That's aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Are you excited about being a new grandmother?
Of course I am. A little intimidated, too.
Why?
Taking care of a baby today is so different than when I had you.
But, Mom, you did great with me.
Thanks, son. But I put you on your stomach to sleep.
Right. But now we know that babies should always be placed on their backs to sleep for naps and at night, to reduce the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS.
You also slept with blankets and toys in your crib.
True, but now we know to keep everything out of the crib except for my sweet baby girl. No blankets, pillows, or other soft or loose items.
Daddy's going to teach Nana all the ways to keep you safe while you sleep. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
For more tips on safe sleep for babies, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. That's safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show. By Silker Joe Show, co-host Joe filling in for Alan today while he is handling his poor little doggy who got wounded by a kitty. Not that bad. Dog should be fine in a few days. But anyway, so picking up sort of where I left off in the last segment, you know, about Democrats badgering the FBI director Kash Patel over weaponizing law enforcement and whatever, you know, they're the ones who, under the Biden administration, decided to target their political opponents, and they're still demanding their political opponents be targeted. You now have Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, familiar name for this show, saying, quote, "We should be monitoring, profiling, and creating policies to fight the radicalization of white men," which kind of gives white men a disproportionate role in the share of deaths and other crimes happening in the country, which, if you look at the FBI's figures, even under the Biden administration, it's a notion that's quickly dispelled. And that's even with a lot of people not reporting numbers to the FBI. But joined now by Dr. Edward Bartlett to talk about this targeting of men and all that. He is founder of SAVE. He is a former faculty member at three universities and former federal regulator at the Department of Health and Human Services with over 100 peer-reviewed articles and editorials to his name. Dr. Bartlett, always happy to talk with you. How are you today?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. So what do you make of Congresswoman Omar's statement?
Yeah, well, you know, my first impulse, of course, is to laugh. But, you know, I try to not laugh too loudly. But the truth is that this is a pattern of the Democrats, that if they want to rally their feminist base, sort of their stock strategy is to somehow vilify and cast men as patriarchal ogres, oppressors of women. The list is fairly long. Misogynists, the manosphere. So this is just the latest example. But we decided to stop just, you know, turning the other cheek and say, hey, this is just, it's not only inaccurate, it's just wrong to vilify people like this.
Mm-hmm. And also with just no information to support her other than Democrat talking points, not actual statistics.
Well, yeah, and there's two key statistics here. One is that the FBI homicide data do not show any disproportionate level of homicides by white men at all. So that is very easy to dispel. But the other is this concept of the radicalization of white men, and actually this is a increasingly common talking point. And guess what? It turns out that the greatest radicalization is occurring among young liberal women. That's the group that public opinion polls over and over show they are going way, you know, progressive left. So it's really not the men who are becoming radicalized in this day and age.
Well, it's almost like it's coming from the perspective of a woman who's been radicalized. They're not aware that they're the ones shifting, but they are the ones shifting. It's the other. So they blame the men.
Well, I have found over and over again, you know, when a feminist makes a statement that's presumably factual, in fact, the truth is the exact opposite. It's not that they're slightly misrepresenting the issue. No, it's the exact opposite, as in this case, the claim that white men are being radicalized. That's just utterly false.
Mm-hmm. And actually, as we see in the last election, apparently their definition of radicalized will be voting for Trump. We have Hispanic men and black men increasingly being more radicalized. But Ilhan Omar is only picking on the white men, I guess, because, you know, one thing I see a lot of is that because whites are the majority in the country and proportionately would be committing the majority of crimes, they just cite that as being why white people are to fear, as opposed to looking at proportionately two races or two genders who's doing all the actual crimes.
Yeah, exactly. You have to look not at numbers, raw numbers. You have to look at rates so you can account for the different numbers of the overall population. So, yeah, it's such a gross misrepresentation. You know, yet another claim is, you know, they during the presidential election, they were talking about misogyny and how, you know, Kamala Harris could never, you know, win because she was dealing with a wave of misogyny. Well, again, the research that we have done, we have found that it's the opposite. It's misandry, which is the contempt for men held by women, that misandry is far more widespread, and anybody can show themselves that to be true. Just do a search on the phrase, kill all men, right? Kill all men. Now, compare that with the number of Google hits on kill all women. You know, there's just no comparison. No, people are not using these inflammatory phrases like kill all women, but, oh, yeah, feminists love to talk about kill all men.
Yeah, and also the talk of misandry, it sort of ignores Hillary Clinton winning the popular vote in 2016, just as the talk of racism being why Kamala Harris lost ignores Obama winning twice. You know, they just, it looks like they're just trying to find excuses for why they're losing power and influence in society, and the more they lose, it seems the more desperate they get and the more radical they become, and therefore the more radical they become, the more they say kill all men, for example, the farther away from actual men they get, and they just start seeing that men being more and more radical as opposed to looking in the mirror.
Yeah, the misconceptions and myths are so rampant. And just to understand what the heck is going on here, we have to understand how pervasive Marxist, neo-Marxist thinking has become, especially in the progressive left. So, you know, Marxism is not just about eliminating economic classes. They want to divide and conquer. They want to eliminate the family. I mean, basically every, you know, key institution of Western society, you know, they're going after, they're trying to disassemble it and vilify it in one way or another.
And what is it that they think they have to gain by doing all of that?
I'll be honest with you. I've asked myself that same question, and I have to think that they have created this separate reality that is not based on science, is not based on fact. It's just based on sort of this make-believe world. And I just see this over and over again that, you know, again, especially young liberal women. And by no coincidence, we know that they have much higher rates of mental illness than other groups in our society.
Well, Dr. Bartlett, appreciate you being on the Al Nathan Show to talk about this. Real quick, where can our listeners find out more about SAVE?
Yes, website is saveservices.org, saveservices.org.
All right, listeners, you can go check that out. We're done with you for this hour, but our websites are mainstreetradionetwork.com and alannathan.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.